swaying. Hope of the penitent, peace in our strife. Here speaks the comforter, tenderly saying, my yoke is easy, my burden is light.
Come unto Jesus, come unto Jesus. Lay down your burdens, he is enough. Come unto Jesus, rest in his love.
Come taste the bread of life broken for sinners. Drink from the cup of his promise made sure. Feast at his table as sons and as daughters. Grace overflowing.
We're going to have our candles lit for our Advent season at this time by a lovely couple.
This is the fourth Sunday of Advent, but we'll reflect on the other three Sundays just now. And we will light the first candle of Advent that represents hope. We hope because our hope is in the true light in a dark world. The second candle of Advent represents peace. Jesus is our peace with God. And the third candle of Advent, reminding us of the joy in his first coming, which illuminates our anticipation for Christ's second coming. Now we light the fourth candle of Advent, reminding us of the love of God. His love is beyond this world. His love is too vast to express with men's words. We see his love in the face of his Son, Jesus Christ. His love was foretold and revealed in the light of the world. Everything may pass, but the love of God will always remain. we love because he first loved us, 1 John 4:19. And for God loved the world in his way, he gave his son, his one and only son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Now Rosemary will pray for.
Join me in prayer, please.
Father God, you're the one that created us and this whole world, and you initiated love. And your love is so perfect, and your love reaches every human heart on this planet. It is unconditional and never ending. And I thank you, Jesus, that you demonstrated that love to the fullest. You laid down your life, because no man has greater love than to lay down his life for his brothers. So we praise and thank you for that. And Father, I want to ask that if there are hearts here that are void of love, that need a topping up, would you just do this morning even, and throughout the Christmas season, they would so experience your love that it would overflow into the lives of others. We just praise and thank you. In precious name we pray. Amen.
Saying for you.
You never change. You are the God you say you are. When I'm afraid, you come and still my beating heart. You stay the same when hope is just a distant thought. And take my pain, and you lead me to the cross. What love is this, that you gave your life for me and made a way for me to know you? And I confess, you're always enough for me. You're all I need. I look to you, I see the scars upon your hands, and hold the truth that when I can't, you always can. And standing here beneath the shadow of the cross, I am overwhelmed that I keep finding. You gave your life
Thank you. We should clap. Bring some noise to the silence that was there. And a thankful clap to those that did that as well. If you didn't know the person that was on the piano, I know you, most of you should know the rest of the ladies that were there, but that's Peter Wall. He was a blessing to do that for them. So thank you for doing that, Peter, and for the rest of your family being here too. I won't make you stand and bow and say a big story about yourself. So the next thing we're going to do, I'm trying something. I'm going to get all of our little ones who will be joining me in the front, and I'm going to be reading this book right here by R.C. Sproul, The Priest with Dirty Clothes. So all of the little ones, I just want to say, Liam, you said you wanted to come do this, so I hope that you're coming. He was like, should we do it? Should we set the beautiful 1970s couch up? 80s maybe, 70s. Should we set? He was for it. So I'm going to sit with you wherever you want to sit. We're going to squish in your, just try to leave a spot for me if you can. If you want to sit on the floor too, and if parents want to come too, feel free. And there is the front benches of youth or anyone else wants to come. But we're going to be here for a while, so find a really comfy spot. You can sit right over there too. I'm going to read to them this way. But on the PowerPoint, you all will have the beautiful pictures as well, so you can follow with us in the story, unless everyone wants to join in the front, but I don't think so. I sat down with the kids the other day to play cards, and my legs don't fold when I sit. They kind of just sit like this, and the kids are like, just fold them. Okay. It doesn't work like that for me at this moment in my life. But at one point, I did do the splits. And I'm not showing you today or tomorrow. So, can I squish in here or can I sit over here? How would this work? I need one more chair. Thank you. All right, ready? Gotta be really quiet though. The priest with dirty clothes. Has anyone ever heard this story before? No? Oh, yes, my kids did. Yes. They haven't heard it for a bit. But this story really reminds me of the love of God. So picture the love of God as we go through all of this. As we go through it. Here, I got the book right here, Grayson. It's behind you. You can look at the pictures. Or up there. The vision of the high priest. Zechariah 3, 1-5. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. And the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, O Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this a brand plucked from the fire?" Now Joshua was standing before the angel, clothed with filthy garments, and the angel said to those who were standing before him, "Remove the filthy garments from him." And to him he said, "Behold, I have taken your iniquity away from you, and I will clothe you with pure vestments." And I said, "Let them put a clean turban on his head." So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord was standing by. Darby and Campbell McFarland live near a beautiful lake in Scotland called Loch Lomond. 7-year-old Darby was always finding ways to get herself and her little brother Campbell in trouble. One day after it had rained, they went outside to play. "Let's make mud pies," Darby said. The children pretended they were bakers. They found some mud and rolled it, patted it, and fashioned it into pretend cakes and pies. As they played, they wiped their hands on their clothes, spreading mud all over themselves. Ever do that? No? You should try it. Don't tell your parents I said that. They laughed and giggled. No, you can tell them. Don't hide things from your parents. They laughed and giggled as they got muddier and muddier. When their mother saw them, she did not laugh. Just look at you. You look like mud pies yourselves, she cried. Hurry and take off those filthy clothes and I'll give you both a bath. After the children were clean, their mother looked at the muddy clothes. I've never been able to get these dirty clothes clean, she said to herself. I'll never be able to. As just then, there was a knock at the front door. It was the children's grandfather. As Darby and Campbell rushed in to hug him, Grandpa grinned and said, it looks like someone made a mud pie bakery in the front yard. The children giggled. Can you giggle? Hee-hee. It seems that our little bakers have ruined their clothes, Mom said. That's too bad, Grandpa said. But it reminds me of a strange and wonderful story. Oh, tell us, please, Darby begged, pulling Grandpa toward the sofa. As soon as they were all seated, Grandpa began the story. Many years ago, in a faraway land, the people of a small village crowded into a large church. It was nighttime. The church was dark except for the candles that were lit inside, casting shadows on the high walls. A young man named Jonathan was lying on the floor, with his arms stretched out so that his body was in the shape of a cross. A great bishop prayed for him. This was the most important night of Jonathan's life. He was about to become a priest. At the end of the ceremony, the bishop gave Jonathan the special clothes of a priest. First, the bishop gave Jonathan a blue robe with a white hood and helped him put it on over his long brown robe made of scratchy wool. Then the bishop tied a white cord around Jonathan's waist. Now Jonathan was a priest. The very next week, Jonathan was invited to the castle of the king. He was to preach his first sermon to the royal household. Jonathan worked hard to prepare his sermon. He wanted it to be the very best. When it was time for Jonathan to go to the castle, it was raining very hard. Jonathan didn't want his new special clothes to get wet, but there was nothing he could do. He pulled the hood of his robe over his head and set out for the castle. As Jonathan and his horse made their way to the castle, the muddy road became more and more slippery. Suddenly, the horse slipped and stumbled, and Jonathan fell off. Jonathan was not hurt, but he was muddy from head to toe. Remember the mud pies? There was mud on his face and on his shoes. There was mud all over his blue robe. The white cord was no longer white. Jonathan was very upset. Jonathan tried hard to clean himself off, but there was no way he could clean his clothes and get to the castle on time. He thought about running away. He didn't want to preach in front of the king in such dirty clothes. The king just has to understand, he thought. Jonathan kept going until he reached the castle. When he arrived, Jonathan hurried into the castle. He looked for a place to clean himself, but the tower bells began to ring. It was time for the royal household to gather to hear Jonathan's sermon. Slowly, Jonathan walked to the place where he was to stand and opened his Bible. As soon as the people saw Jonathan's dirty clothes, they began whispering. The king also was surprised to see the priest's mud-covered clothes. But the king was a kind and gentle ruler, and he could see that Jonathan was ashamed of his appearance. He knew that Jonathan must have a good reason for coming to the place in such dirty clothes. At that very moment, the court magician, whose name was Malice, stood up and shouted, "Wait! This priest cannot preach before the king wearing those dirty clothes." What do you think is going to happen? Malice was a very mean man. He hated all priests. He even hated priests whose clothes were clean, because he was powerful and mean. The people were afraid of him. As soon as Malice shouted out against Jonathan, other people began to yell mean things about Jonathan too. The king felt sorry for Jonathan. He didn't like the way Malice was behaving. He was afraid that Malice might cause someone to harm the priest. The king stood and said to the people, "Be calm. Please stop talking. I will take care of this problem." The people grew silent. Even Malice stopped talking. Remember that mean one? The king then asked Jonathan to come forward. When Jonathan walked up to him, the king said, "Why did you come here in these dirty clothes?" Jonathan explained what had happened. The king nodded and said, "I understand. I am sorry that you had this accident. You cannot preach here today wearing such dirty clothes, but I will give you another chance. You may come back next week and preach, but only if you wear clean clothes." "Thank you, Your Majesty," Jonathan said. "I am sorry I am so dirty. I promise that next week I will be clean." Jonathan left the castle as fast as he could. When he got home, the first thing he did was try to clean his clothes, but the stains were so deep he couldn't get them out. The more he tried to clean his clothes, the worse they looked. They were so dirty, they looked like his old scratchy. They were so dirty, they looked like his old scratchy brown robe. The next day, Jonathan took his special clothes to the town fuller. The fuller was a man who cleaned people's dirty clothes. Do you have anyone who cleans your clothes? Yeah? Your mom? Oh, it's a very nice mom. The fuller was a man who cleaned people's dirty clothes. He had special soaps that could get mud out of clothing. The fuller looked at Jonathan's clothes and said, "These clothes are so dirty, I don't know if I can make them clean, but I will do my best. Come back tomorrow." When Jonathan returned to the fuller's shop, the fuller said, "I am afraid that I cannot make your clothes clean. They are ruined forever. The only thing you can do is to get new clothes." "But I can't get new clothes," Jonathan said. "The clothes were given to me by the bishop. He only gives out one set of clothes." "I am sorry about that," the fuller said, "but there is nothing more I can do. You should go see the bishop. Maybe he can give you a new set of clothes to see so you can preach before the king." Jonathan didn't think the bishop would give him a new set of clothes, but he had to ask. So he went straight to the bishop's office. The bishop patiently listened to Jonathan's story. Then he said, "This is a sad thing that has happened to you, Jonathan, but there is nothing I can do to help you." Jonathan was very sad. "Isn't there something I can do to get clean clothes?" Listen to those words once more. "Isn't there something I can do to get clean clothes?" he asked. "Please let me do something special to earn new clothes." The bishop's face was sad. "No, Jonathan," he said. "The rules are clear. There is nothing you can do on your own to earn a new set of clothes. The only person who can help you is the priest, is the great prince. Perhaps you should speak to him." The bishop gave Jonathan the directions to the palace of the great prince. Jonathan carefully followed the directions until he came to the place where the great prince lived. He asked the guard for permission to see the prince. The guard escorted Jonathan to the great hall where the prince was sitting on a throne. When Jonathan saw the prince, he was amazed. The prince was dressed in a long purple robe with precious jewels on it. There was a band around his waist made of pure gold. His face seemed to shine like the sun. Jonathan had never seen anyone like him. The prince looked at Jonathan with caring eyes. "Why are you here?" he asked in a voice that was soft and kind. "What do you need from me?" Jonathan said, "Oh, great prince, I am a new priest. I am to preach a sermon to the king's household, but I have ruined my clothes and I cannot stand in front of the king without clean clothes. No one has been able to make my clothes clean. Is there anything you can do to help me?" Jonathan told the prince how his clothes had become dirty. The prince listened quietly, then said to Jonathan, "I understand your problem and I can help you." "Are you going to give me clean clothes?" Jonathan asked. "You will soon see, Jonathan," the prince replied. "But first, come with me to the fireplace." Jonathan followed the prince to the corner of the room where a small fire was burning in the fireplace. The prince pointed to a small branch at the edge of the fire. The branch had been partly burned, but it was no longer hot. The prince told Jonathan to pick up the branch. Should we ever pick up a branch that's burning in a fire? No. Good advice. Jonathan reached down and picked up the branch, but this one wasn't hot. He held it and looked at it. It was black and charred. When the prince said, "Jonathan, could you put it down again?" Jonathan put it back beside the fire. Then the prince said, "Now look at your hand." Jonathan looked down and saw that his hand was black. It was covered with soot from the branch. "Jonathan," the prince said, "you are like the branch who you pulled from the fire. You are covered with dirt, but the dirt is not just on your clothes. It is on your heart. Sin. The wrong things that you do makes your heart dirty. No soap can make it clean." When the prince said, "Jonathan, I can help you. Go to the castle next week and be ready to preach your sermon. Wear dirty clothes. I will take care of them." Jonathan felt sad and afraid. "But great prince," he said, "the king said I could not stand in front of him in my dirty clothes, and the evil magician Malice will do something mean to me if I enter the castle with dirty clothes." A warm smile spread across the face of the great prince. Can you smile really big? That was okay. Yeah, good. Yeah, that's good. "Yes, Jonathan, I know about Malice and his meanness," he said. "I also know the king very well. You see, Jonathan, the king is my father." Jonathan asked, "How are you going to make my clothes clean?" The prince answered, "I promised you that I will take care of that. I never break my promises. I always do what I say I will do. Now go home and get ready for your sermon. I will be there and I will do what I promised." Then the next week came. Jonathan was both excited and a little afraid. He thought about not going to the castle at all. Then he